Okay, we're on the air. Nicole, how are you? And welcome to your first show. I'm co-hosting it with you, and this is a great show. So welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, and thank you for having me and allowing me to speak with your audience.
Yeah, I know. We're excited, and one day we'll take questions in the near future, but for today, it's just going to be you and I and everyone else listening, because this is a live show right now, but the podcast goes around the world, so I'm super excited that you'll have guests listening in forever, because it goes on iTunes after it's here, and welcome. So I know you have a great show. I know you have a great subject to talk about, and first of all, how did you get this is your passion now, one of your passions and one of your purposes. So how did this happen? So share with us how you got this news to talk about, because it's not an easy one.
It is not. So tonight I wanted to speak about grief and finding your light in your grief. I had a series of shows that I could have chose from or topics, but this one kept on coming back to me, and I believe it's because we're about to approach the holidays. And as we all know, you could have, had a loss 15, 20 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, yesterday, and grief shows up. And so how do we go through that or see the light in it as we approach the holidays? Because we can get really in our feelings. Some people get isolated or don't want to celebrate the holidays. I'm not sure why, but I believe it's because their loved one is not here, so what's the purpose? But I wanted to put a different spin on what we can do and why we might be going through these challenges when we talk about grief, hear about grief.
Right. Oh, it's good. I like that. So, yeah, I know I've got a young gentleman. He is listening to your show, and he lost his mom. Okay. So it's not even been a year now. And then I've got I got people all over the world that are going to listen to this. And,
right.
And how do you find your light in the grief? I mean, that's a hard one.
It's a very hard one. It's a very, very hard one. And, I'm going through my own grief as well, because a few months ago, a very dear friend of mine was shot and killed. And it took me for a loop because he was very young. He was 44. And if you knew him, you would know that's not, you wouldn't expect that to happen. And I think that's where, the grief comes in. We don't expect someone to be, if you will, taken from us at that particular time, the way they have it. It's all traumatic for us. But what I can say, and I learned this through a book that you recommended to me called Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real, your life before you were even born. And it's by Robert Schwartz. And he was talking to about four people and their experiences. They've lost someone or they've had a traumatic experience in their life that kind of made them turn a corner. And a lot of them, of course, have lost someone. So what started this whole journey of, the light within your grief is, while we feel we have lost someone and they were taken from us, we need to try to change our mindset a little bit and realize that there is a new relationship that's developing with our loved one on the other side. Wow. And while it may make us cry, it might make us sad, which are all normal. And I want to really emphasize that every feeling that you have when you lose someone, it is all normal. It is okay. But what we can do to help ourselves is develop, positive and healthy coping skills. And realize, when someone comes into when your loved one comes into your thoughts, or if you see someone that might remind you of that, and I had that happen a few weeks ago and really startled me. The guy was just like my friend, and I was waiting for a table at a restaurant, and I was with a good friend of mine, and I just grabbed her arm. I almost snapped it. That's how hard I grabbed her, because I saw this guy who looked just like him. And I'm like, he's letting me know he's around and he's okay. And
right.
He's saying, hi, I'm popping in on you, you know. And so look at it like that. And we can have a different relationship. So we might feel, a lot of people are more sensitive than others to, you know, energies. But, you know, you might fear your loved one, or for, you know, the young boy who lost his mom, and I'm so, so sorry about that. Your mom is holding a different place with you. She's still there with you. She's letting you know that she's never going to leave you. And you can talk to her. You know, she might, you might smell something that might have smelled like her, or she, you might eat something that you ate together, or smell something, or see something, watch a television show, listen to something on the news, or listen, hear a song that reminds you of your loved one. That's them talking to you. And for me, I talk back, you know, like, hello, how you doing? Thank you. You know, I mean, you do that because you're allowing them to still be a part of you, even though the way we're used to them being with us is not the reality.
So I have a question for you, and that's a good point right there. I had a young lady down that was on a couple weeks ago, and she was really close to her grandparents, and her grandfather died. And she says that after doing some of the things that you're talking about, like, you know, hey, you're still on the other side, you're helping me, I had to go over on the other side, right, to heaven land, so that I could help more you and others, right? And because they're not limited by the personality or the physical body, right? But they're over there.
Exactly.
With the angels of God, the, you know, the God of your understanding, however you see God, you know, Jeshua, who I call Jesus, because that's his Hebrew name.
That's his name, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she said, but I had a dream that my grandfather was helping me build a floor. I don't know how to build a floor. And I said to her, I said, well, I go, maybe your new purpose, your life purpose is to help people. So he's helping you build that floor, that solid foundation, right? Without a floor.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Wow. That makes perfect sense. Like, yeah, he's like, okay, I'm going to teach you how to build, and you have to have the solid foundation. So while it wasn't literal, it was metaphorical. And
right.
That's why you're here, Tari, to help us figure out all of these nuances and things like that. But yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Perfect.
I love that about that. But you're saying that, okay, you worked for hospice for a while too.
I did, and I learned a lot.
How can that help us with accepting the death, or maybe not accepting the death, or maybe, but also enjoying the life that they're still here? Because I know hospice is wonderful. So you brought that up to me today, and that has stuck with me all day. And so can you share with us a little bit about that? Hospice?
Yes. So I, for 10 years, I worked at a hospice organization, and a nonprofit hospice. There are differences between for-profit and nonprofit. And I worked on an administrative side in the foundation, but the latter half of my career. And I was able to interact with a lot of families and see a lot of things because the patients were in the building with us. And I learned early on the importance of hospice and what it can do for a family, what it can do for a patient. And a lot of times you'll see patients go in at the very, very, very end of life, whereas if the family was open to it earlier,
right,
it actually provides a better quality of life. And in some cases, the patient actually lives a little longer than it was expected. And it's also there to help the family. So the family is going through a traumatic experience, having to do a million different things, and they need a support system too. And the team, as they say, is there to help the family, the patient, and everyone transition, and even after it as well. I know standard normally is you might get maybe a year of bereavement services from that organization or an organization in your community, but they have so many services that can help the families as they go through this. And I saw it happen and play out, and it was very comforting to know that, you know, there's a lot of stigma around hospice, a lot of negative stigmas in the past, you know, but it's a really a safe haven. And I had always said, hey, before, you know, I want to go there. Where can I get my room? Because it was such an inviting, you know, presence. Family can come
right.
there and stay forever if they wanted to with their loved one. They didn't have to go home. They camped out or whatever the case may be. There's music therapy. There's so many things, or, you know, ancillary services that can be brought in to help people through this time, because it's not an easy thing to face. You know, it's one thing if something happens tragically and it's unexpected, but when you're watching your loved one decline, that's a whole other different experience. And
right.
you know, and so that was most important to me, to make sure the patient had a quiet, you know, the quality of life, or to see and hear families talk about that. For their loved ones.
I like that. So that's cool. And I understand. And you said something to me today. You guys, she's amazing. You said we focus on, I know sudden death, you know, and I've seen that happen, but I was telling you today, I have a friend of mine that has, you know, he's going through his death, and he's made plans with hospice to take him to the final stages, but he's been terminal since May. And
yeah.
so he's lived his life with a lot of experiences. You know, he's in his 70s, so, you know, people sit there and wait to die, right? But so he's filled his life with experiences. Even in the past few months, he's filled it with experiences.
Right.
So that brings me to your statement that you made to me. You said, Tariq, you know, people concentrate on when they get a terminal illness, for instance, and that's a death sentence. So you said concentrate on the breath. Explain that to me. Concentrate on the breath.
Yeah. So I know people that, you know, talk about life, well, I'm scared of death, I'm scared of this, I'm scared of, you know, and we talked about people are more scared of how they're going to die versus dying. I say focus on your breath, because that's what you have right now. That's what you're living. You are living. So rather than putting your focus on how you're going to die, when you're going to die, when you die, because we don't know what happens when we die. We'll find out, you know, in our own time. Focus on your life. Focus how you can honor your loved ones that have passed on. Focus
right.
on the good times. You know what I mean? It's all about mindset. And while we're in that murky and just, you know, we have the five stages of grief. You know, you're angry, you're upset, you feel abandoned, you feel all of these things going on. I challenge people to change their mindset really quickly and think a good thought. Just think a good thought. And once you think of one good thought, think of another thought. And just follow it up with that. Follow it up with the group therapy or one-on-one therapy. Follow it up by drawing a picture or making, you know, a memory collage of pictures or something like that, you know what I mean, to still, because while you or doing something good in the community, giving back, which is one of the things I love to do, because while you're focused on, you know, dying, you're missing out on your actual life, your own actual life, your own actual purpose here.
Right. So that is a good point. So focus on the living. And, you know, because life, I know by being what I do, and I know this where you do the same thing, that if you want to know that your family is okay, even your puppy, right? I've asked one of my dogs died, she got hit by a car, and, you know, it was just such a process because, you know, I said, I remember when she died, I go, Chelsea, which is a lab I had over there, I said, would you please take her and make sure she's okay? And my grandmother came to me and says, I'm going to make sure she's okay. She's going to help me bring people over. Like, you know, when we go to Heavenland. I call it Heavenland.
Yeah.
Because
right.
it's like Disneyland. You probably can eat anything you want and do anything you want over in the Heavenland.
Exactly. Land.
Yeah, so if you think of it like that, that's something I do with people myself. So I said, Chelsea, I was holding her while she was going. I said, Chelsea, can you please welcome her in on the other side, and Grandma will be there. And I said, bring her back to me. And I had a dream, and there Chelsea came, my lab, who had died years earlier, and then she brought my little Frenchie, Ella, to me. And Ella was, she's wet. I go, I guess they wash them when they get over here, because it was a few days after she died. And
right.
And because, you know, so I think, do you feel this? That I from my own experience and other people's experience that I've, you know, talked to, because being doing what I do, the medium that I am, dogs go to heaven, animals go to heaven, and
yeah,
they have the best place over there on the other side, right? So don't you think?
I think dogs like little children and elderly people. They're closer. You know what I mean? They're a lot more sensitive and closer to source, if you will. They're not tainted like we are in our mundane life. So in dogs especially, you know, that's why you have therapy dogs. Because they feel, they know when you're not well, or you're happy or whatever, because they mimic how you feel. If they're anxious, if you're anxious, they're anxious. And I do believe when our animals, you know, die, their souls still stay with us. We can call back to them. We can definitely pray that they're doing okay over there. And in our dreams is a lot of times when we can get a lot of messages from our loved ones. So when you have dreams, it's okay. I know I used to be afraid. Like, why are they coming to me? And, you know, then I would talk to, you know, you, and I'll say, well, you know, they're okay. And that's where I'm like, okay, hello. You know, they're not there to hurt me, for sure. But recognize when your loved one, well, whether it's a pet or, you know, your mom, dad, cousin, friend, uncle, whoever, sister, brother, they're there to still help you. They're still there to look after you, and you can call on them at any time. Anytime. That's what I experience. That's how I live. My fiance's mother died last year. You know, we're slowly getting him into the light, Jerry, and he, he's interesting. Gotta love him. But I asked him, you know, when your mom was here before I moved in, what did she sit on a couch, you know, or in this particular place or whatever? Because a couple of times I've heard the couch move, or heard it's a leather couch, and I'm like, yeah, I'm on the other side of the couch. What's going on over there? So, of course, it freaked him out when I asked him, but I was just like, the mom is just here. She's just hanging out with me, with my crazy son. You know what I mean? And that's how I look at it. And it's a comforting thing. And now he's like, he'll think about her or whatever. And I'm like, it's okay. She's come to him in his dream quite often. And I'm just like, that is a beautiful thing. You know,
right? That
makes
that's
you miss them all over again, but it's a beautiful thing, because I always ask them, how did you feel in the dream? Were you scared? Were you upset or whatever? He was like, no, everything was happy, was fine. You know, I'm like, that's good. You know, so you embrace those types of things. You have to embrace those. You know, we've been taught a lot of things in our life to not embrace that, or embrace this. Oh, that's just, you know, that's just a coincidence or whatever. No, but you'll continue to learn in life that there's not many coincidences, if any at all. There's a reason for everything. And just because someone is not physically here does not mean they're not trying to connect with us, because we are all energy. We all have our own souls within this physical body that we're here, that we're occupying, or we're renting for a particular time.
You're right. I agree with that. So what you're saying and is that we can ask to connect with them, have a dream about them. And I've had dreams about my mother, and I've seen people, believe it or not, our loved ones surround us. Like you saw your friend the other day, he sent you a snapshot of like, hey, I want to let you know I'm okay. They'll find a way to let you know that they're okay. And you know what I also love, and this is so, so important, they have access to the greatest mind of the universe, and that's God.
Yes,
if you want to know something or have a question about something, and I would probably make that question, a bit different than just saying, hey, am I going to be rich, you know, as something that help humanity. Then if you want to have, if you have a question or something, ask your relative. Say, hey, yeah, aunt, Tess, mom, dad, whatever. Tell me something. Tell me about, you know, what's going on in our government. Tell me about what's going on in the world, and how can I be of service? Ask what your question is.
I always do that. I think you taught me how to do this. When I'm asking, whether I'm asking, you know, Jesus, or God, or whoever, you know, you worship, or I'm asking, you know, a loved one, show me what I need to know.
Right.
You know, what do I need to know for this situation? How can I protect myself? Show me how to do that. And you know, they're very, very simple. Once I, you know, and very plain, and you have to be specific with that, and not make it, like you said, am I going to be rich? Sure, you're rich right now. You have a lot of things, but it's all in how you define it. But yeah,
that's,
you know what I mean.
Point.
It is, you know, I mean, it's trial and error. You have to learn these things and be patient with yourself. That's one of the things I must say before we close out tonight. Always be patient with yourself through this grieving process. There's a 1 day at a time, 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour at a time to be patient with yourself. But I always ask, you know, what do I need to know about? Especially if something is troubling me, you know, what do I need to know about the situation? You know, make it plain so I can understand it. And normally, and I've asked that before I've gone to bed, so if I do have a dream about something or a message is trying to come to me, I ask that.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. Wow. And ask a question, and you go, I want more money. Well, here's your dollar. Now you got more money. So you want
right. Right. What are you going to do now? Right.
Yeah. Anyway, but if you're asking for something, you know, and I was telling someone today that I want to know, why do I not get to live like they did in the Bible, Old Testament, till about 900 years? And my dad asked me, he goes, is that what you really would ask?
That's what you're really right.
He goes, okay, can you give me an answer to that? Well, not really. I said, okay, I'll take it to God, right? You know, or take it to the angels, take it to Jeshua, take it to an ascended master. But you can always ask questions, and you'll get an answer. And it won't be like a big baboon, like 4th of July.
No. Mm-hmm. And it may take a few times. It may take a few times because we miss things. We're human. We're human, so we're going to miss things. Or, you know, in hindsight, it's always 20/20. It's like, hey, man, I might have gotten assigned or something, you know, a few days or a few weeks ago, and I didn't listen, you know, because we don't listen to ourselves. But, it's really important to understand that connection that you now have with your loved one who is not here is so great. It's just as great, if not greater, than when they were physically here.
They got access to the greatest mind in all.
They do. They really do.
You're right about that. You said something too. I know that you're you work with the whales, and you're an expert in that. I call you an expert. You're going to say no. Don't call me an expert, but you are. And so, how can that help us when we're connecting with the loved ones on the other side? We can ask for dreams. We can ask questions. We can do all those things, and remember, it will come out of the blue sometimes, but not like a big 4th of July party usually.
Right.
You know, and you say, oh, my gosh, I got that answer. So, but how can you use oils to facilitate your experience with your ones that have passed over or angels?
Well, so it's, you know, it's emotions that we're trying to manage, right, in our grief. And so I use essential oils for everything, and I've been doing it for about 4 years. And you'll hear people, you know, say, you know, oh, you can use lavender, you know, because it's just very, very soothing. I like to dive a little deeper in certain oils that actually, you know, they're put here and they have positive properties that we can, you know, use. So one of the two main ones that you might hear is frankincense and myrrh. People use those to meditate. Myrrh, for instance, you know, can help you feel safe, you know, form a healthy attachment, you know, and feel loved. It's a nice scent. Frankincense does the same thing. It kind of helps you with a little clarity. And then another one, the lime, which is the oil of zest for life.
Oh, wow.
You know, right? So these citrus oils are normally invigorating. You know, they kind of like heighten it. They can help you lift your spirits, if you will. And so lime, you know, can invoke some courage, you know, to deal with the grief or whatever. It can help you feel emotionally safe.
Wow.
You know, like I said, the frankincense, you get enlightened, you feel loved and protected. you know, spiritually more open when you're smelling and or, you know, putting a little bit of oil in your diffuser or even just on your wrist and on your hands and cupping them over, because once you're inhaling that, which was really, really helpful and beneficial to you. So, and as a, and I use doTERRA essential oils, and so they have these blends, and I have this, which is called an emotional kit. So when I know someone is grieving or they're going through a tough time, I normally send them a oil called Peace and Cheer, because we need some peace and cheer while we're going through some difficult things. And so cheer allows you to uplift, you know, feel uplifted, and the peace is calming, it's soothing, it, you know, allows you to pretty much bring yourself back to center, if you will. And people have loved it. I mean, I've used it myself, but I normally give it away because I like to help people, you know, uplift the mood, and this is why we're doing this right now. And especially when you're seeing someone grieving, it's particularly, you know, it aches my heart. So it's like, okay, what can I do to help them today? And that's what I ask. And I see what, if I have it on me, because I normally, any given time, I have 4, 5, or 6 oils with me. You know, you use them at your job, you know, because, you know, just because you have to go to work and go to school, grief doesn't stop. So you can carry these with you and smell them throughout the day if you need a little pick-me-up or you need a reset to kind of help you along the day.
I love that, Nicole. That's amazing and beautiful. Listen, we're going to run out of time because I know that she's so busy. She's got another call after this. So I'm going to give a little plug for some things that she's doing. By the way, anybody that wants, Nicole's getting ready to create a prayer so that you can connect with your loved ones on the other side and God and the angels. But so you can have peace about your loved ones there. She's going to create a prayer, and we're getting Angel Coaches is revamping itself. It has been a big monster for me to do, but
yeah,
it's joyful and everything. And we got a magazine coming out. So, you know, and I hopefully want it in the near future to write an article about grief and overcoming things and how you can find peace with your oils, but also with your mindset. But she's going to create a prayer. She's also going to teach some classes on how you can connect with the loved ones on the other side. I'm giving all this, and she's like, Cherie, we talked about it. We didn't set a date. No, we haven't.
Well, we didn't, but it's all good. I mean, it's going to be other topics as well, you know, relationships, you know, finding your path, whatever it is. And, you know, grief is such a huge topic. You can talk for millions of hours. But I think we're going to definitely do a part 2 to this as we get deeper into the holidays.
Yeah.
And I think people are going to need it most. This is to gear people up so they can listen to it. I pray that it has helped people, you know, feel a little bit better, if not a lot better. But again, it's a journey. There's no time on grief, and just be patient. That's what I say to people, is just be really, really patient with yourself.
And if you get angry and sorrowful, this is something that's
fine.
Yeah, because it that's a disguise for grief. So
yeah,
okay.
It is. Just don't hurt yourself or anyone else.
Anyway, well, yeah. So I know you got to get out of here, and you've got some things you've got to do. And Nicole's also going to be putting some of you guys want nonprofit organizations, so she's working on that. That's in the future. Some of these things are in the future, near future, not so near future, but they will come. Anyway,
thank you, Cherie.
Yeah, oh, you bet. So I want to get you off the phone because I know you got things to do. She's a busy lady and very important. Anyway, we will talk to you again. This Tuesday, but the coming Tuesday, but the following one. You guys have a great now. Nick and Nicole, do you want to say goodbye? However you say it, that's all good.
So. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great evening.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.